Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Macaw Podcast universe for another fantastic episode. How are you today?
I am good. My name is Jordan.
I am good. My name is Micah.
We are here to prove people wrong when they say sequels are never better than the originals.
Thought you were going to give it to me.
Not this time.
I think I've only said it like three times ever.
So not true.
Maybe once.
That is so not true.
Yeah, and so we have been diving into a new franchise for Jordan and I, if you've been listening along, and this is the third entry in the Planet of the Apes series. And this one, this time, we're not beneath it. We're not just discovering it.
We got to escape it.
We got to escape it. Now, here's what I got to say right off the bat. This is shaping up to be one of the most fascinating and coolest franchises I have ever seen.
Easily. Like, no contest.
This is... So...
This is, you know, why... You know...
Hello?
I just said our tagline for the podcast of why we exist and how we and why we prove people wrong. And this series feels like kind of a potential thesis to that.
Yeah, well...
And in some ways.
Yeah.
Because, if you let me finish...
Okay.
We're on movie three.
I'm tugging at my collar right now.
This franchise has already done the most outlandish, bonkers, bananas stuff that you could put in a franchise that today, it feels like, producers and studios wouldn't even, like, think about giving it...
No.
About taking that kind of risk, going with that kind of weird idea...
Having said that, though, maybe the new Planet of the Apes movies do in their own different
maybe
version
they do.
Of it.
Yeah.
So here's what I'm saying. Well, if you've seen them or if you haven't, I'm just finding that my growing up, my understanding of this series was there's the great movie and then there's a bunch of really B crappy makeup bad movies where there's just apes running around. That is just what I assumed. And that was not... from people telling me or anything. It was just an assumption I had.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm sure you can find people who argue that, I did not think that the series would so far, in the three we have seen, have really important satirical, religious, and moral aspects to all of them that are unique.
Mm-hmm.
These are all exploring different... elements of the human experience.
Yeah.
In a way that I'm like, yeah, so far the two sequels have justified their existence to me.
Yeah.
I think it's
this
a little...
go ahead.
Sorry. I think it's a little impossible for the series to ever hit the height of that first movie because it's just so iconic and
ending
is, you know, it's the sixth sense of its day. You know what I mean? It's like, you can't outdo that.
It's a huge twist.
But... I thought that these would all be cash grabs, but these are not cash grabby movies. Imagining, you know, any series doing stuff like this today seems insane to me that they would let someone do this.
Yes.
The only other series I can think of it that's modern, but it started back then, would be like Mad Max. Like every movie, George Miller just does something absolutely bananas.
Yeah.
Pun intended. Well, oranges. He does something oranges, not bananas. Because these chimps don't like bananas.
Oh.
And they, you know, let him do it, but he kind of has to push it uphill. But having said all that, that's like the only series just off the top of my head that even gets near what this is.
Yeah.
Well, actually, there is one other that I wanted to mention. I've been very slowly working my way through George Romero's zombie series. And that's another one to me that feels like I've seen four of them now. And the fourth one is not that great, but it still like justifies the existence of it.
Well, it's just a great premise that which is why we have so many freaking Walking Dead shows.
Yeah.
And then with this franchise, it's just the premise is so interesting. It's just every movie is, and I hope every movie's like this, and I know not all of them are, but it's just they're all thought experiments. It's like, okay, so this happened. What about this in this world? And that's the same with zombies where and vampires, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of that monster stuff where it's like, have we told the story this way yet?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm getting that same like buzz feeling that I get when I watch these Romero movies where it's like every movie you're like, so what's like the take or what's the social commentary? Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, he did it again.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe not as successful as the first or second time, but it's there. So And so far, these Planet of the Apes movies, and apparently, I think the next one is
even
considered,
better.
I think Case said that was his favorite of the original beyond the first movie,
uh-huh.
like the original sequels.
Uh-huh.
I think the next one is.
We are in for it.
Yeah. So, I think that's what he said. But I'm getting these titles confused. I'm hoping that once we get done, I'll be able to, you know, spout them off like Star Wars. But,
Yeah, in this one, they ask, you know, the titles Escape from the Planet of the Apes. And by the end of the movie, you think, who's escaping who?
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's an interesting damn movie, I gotta say. So, yeah, of course, this was our first time watching it. So let's just jump right into who made it.
Speak for me, okay.
Don Taylor is the director of this movie. And he's an actor from the 40s and 50s.
Oh, okay.
And so he co-starred in a movie, The Naked City, Battleground, Father of the Bride, 1950-something, or maybe 1950.
I didn't know that what?
That was when I discovered it just now.
Is that a remake?
It must be.
I didn't know
or that. It could be a Mr. and Mrs. Smith situation, potentially, because I know that the Alfred Hitchcock movie, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, has no similarities to the...
They're not both assassins.
No, in the other one, it's just like... in the Alfred Hitchcock movie, it's just like a guy and a girl, and I think they like have to get married for like a silly reason, and then they slowly
fall
in love.
What's this other movie we're talking about?
The Father of the Bride, or just Father of the Bride.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Don Taylor. Yeah, he starred in Father of the Bride, the Vampire Weekend album. That's what he starred in.
Oh, okay.
Are you pulling up the premise? You got
Father
it.
Father of the Bride, 1961 TV series?
No, it was a movie. And I think it was 1950.
Oh, here it is.
Hit me.
The father of a young woman deals with the emotional pain of her getting married along with the financial and organizational trouble of arranging the wedding. Now, granted, I have not seen the Steve Martin one, but I think that's what it is, isn't it?
Well, scroll down and it'll say...
With his oldest daughter's wedding approaching, a father finds himself reluctant to let go.
Yeah, so it's a remake.
Okay.
We should watch it. You
Martin
and I love...
Martin Short's in it. Did you know that?
You and I love Steve Martin. No.
Guess who else is in it? Kieran Culkin.
Really?
Yeah, so we're watching this, like, tonight.
But Don Taylor, back to him.
Yeah.
He goes on to direct movies. This is his most famous directorial movie. But later he makes an adaptation of Tom Sawyer, and he also directs the sequel to Omen, Damien, Omen 2.
Mm.
And then this movie is written by Paul Den. You probably recognize that name from last week. The cinematography is by Joseph F. Barak, B-I-R-O-C, not Obama. And he worked with Joseph Walker on It's a Wonderful Life, and they share a billing in that movie.
Oh, okay, cool.
And if you remember, I believe it was, actually I'm forgetting, but there was a Wonderful Life connection last week as well.
There was?
Yeah, I think it was the writer?
Oh, I don't.
Or one of the writers?
Like, I don't remember.
Did uncredited writing on... It's a Wonderful Life. That's what it was.
Okay.
But he also shot Blazing Saddles and Airplane, amongst so many other movies.
Comedy guy.
Yeah, but a lot of stuff earlier than Planet of the Apes that I didn't recognize, but I'd imagine, you know, dramas, comedies, etc.
The rest.
The rest. The music is by Jerry Goldsmith, who returns for the third ape movie that he's been in.
I liked the music in this one.
Yeah, he... did something very different.
Yeah.
It was a little jarring.
It was weird.
But I think it worked.
This movie's weird.
It's very weird. I didn't know we could get weirder than Mutants Under the City.
That pull their faces off.
Yeah. But we're getting weirder.
And worship a bomb.
Yeah. This movie comes out May 26, 1971. And the budget of this movie is $2 million. So that's $500,000 less than Beneath the Planet of the Apes.
So this one has even a smaller budget.
Yeah.
So... I did notice this, and I think it is obvious why, but the makeup looked way better in this movie than the last one.
Uh-huh.
But there were only three apes.
Right, and so that's part of the appealing part of this for both the director and the producers is...
Oh, they don't have to have, like, 100 people.
Yeah, and that's part outfitted. Of why they kept the budget down so low is they have three apes, and then it turns into just two apes.
So is it more of a practicality budget low rather than a, like... You guys just don't get this much money.
I think I couldn't tell for sure, but I got the impression that maybe it was like, ooh, we can save money.
Yeah.
Not like, this is all you get kind of thing. But I don't really know how that gets set down.
Yeah.
But this movie does make $12.3 million.
Okay.
So modest success, just released in the U.S. So the producer, Arthur P. Jacobs, and I'm not sure exactly when he sent this telegram. I got the impression that it was either right when Beneath came out, right after, or right before. And the telegram just said, he sends it to Paul Den, the writer, and he says this about a sequel. He just said, quote, apes exist, sequel required.
Okay. Demanding.
Yeah. So less budget, less apes. It's originally titled Secret of the Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
I think I like this better.
Me
Escape
too.
From. And then Den talks to the author.
Mm-hmm.
And he, to help him with like satirical elements and bringing in, you know, just basically what we're saying, where it's like having something to say in the movie. Kim Hunter was more excited to do this movie than two. She liked the script more.
That makes sense. That's zero for people who don't remember.
Yeah. And, but she was happy to be killed off.
Okay. She's like, I'm done with this makeup.
And then this was a 6-week rushed filming.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So, and that's all the notes. So
that's pretty economical.
Yeah. On Escape from the Planet of the Apes.
So we've covered Roddy McDowall, who plays Cornelius, and Kim Hunter, who plays Zira. Bradford Dillman plays Dr. Lewis. He is also in The Enforcer. That's what we're recognizing him from.
Oh.
He plays Captain McKay.
Okay. So he's, I think he's the captain that's chewing him out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Also, he's in Compulsion, Set an Impact, Murder, She Wrote. A lot of stuff.
Oh, and might I add, I just think it's interesting and worth noting. And I don't have like a thesis on this or anything that smart to say, but at least these first three movies, it's a lot of old Hollywood guys that are making these movies. And it's just interesting to me that they're making this crazy of stuff.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if maybe there's some part of them that's like, we really want to push the boundaries because we've been working within the system for 20, 30 years. Like, we made It's a Wonderful Life. Now let's make, you know, apes time travel. I don't know if that's just coincidence, but like, I think the new Planet of the Apes movies, you know, like Matt Reeves is a big part of them. And it's like, well, at the time he's writing those and making those, he's like a young guy who probably grew up watching Planet of the Apes. Yeah. These are like old
seasoned
men,
people.
Like 56-year-old guys that are making these movies. So it's just interesting that they could make something so fresh and young feeling.
Uh-huh. So Natalie Trundy plays Dr. Stephanie Branton. She is in Conquest of the Planet of the Apes. She's also, she plays Albina from the last movie.
And who is Albina?
She's
again?
One of the mutants.
Oh.
She's the one lady in their crew.
So she was the one with Dr. Lewis
in this
movie?
She looked very different. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So.
Okay.
She's in a couple more coming up.
Okay.
Whoops. Okay. And then Dr. Otto Hausling.
Yeah.
He is in The Young and the Restless. Titanic.
Like.
John Jacob Astor.
James Cameron Titanic?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. And you said John Jacob Jingleheimer Smith? Is that what you said?
He's also in Colossus, The Forbidden Project, How I Met Your Mother.
Wow. He was pretty locked in on this movie.
Oh,
I liked him a lot.
He was great. I did think, give him the hair of the guy from Anatomy of a Fall.
Oh,
and
we'd
really have something to talk about. William Wyndham plays the president. I thought this guy was so good.
This guy would have my vote.
Sure.
I mean, he was really delegating and really wanted to be sure about stuff. And I just feel like...
He was a smart cookie.
Who's the president around this time?
When is this, the 70s?
Early 70s? It came out in 1970. I'll look this up because...
So William Wyndham, Mr. President, is also in Uncle Buck, To Kill a Mockingbird, and True Crime. And then, who is this? Anyway, let's not... Okay, wait. Sorry. John Randolph is in this as the chairman. That is one of the grandpas in Christmas Vacation.
Yes, yeah.
He's also in You've Got Mail, Serpico. it was fun to see him. In these older movies, when you see actors that you recognize, it's always so exciting because you often just don't get to like, you just don't often see them crop up.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's always fun. The most fun was M. Emmett Walsh at the beginning of the oranges. The guy has always been old to me. Always. Like he was born old.
Yeah.
And I finally caught him in a movie as a younger person. Yeah. Wow, it was awesome.
It was like when we watched Forbidden Planet, and who was it? Who was in that?
Kelsey.
No. Oh my gosh, what's his name?
Leslie.
Leslie. What? Oh my gosh, I'm forgetting his name.
I'll look it up in a second.
And seeing him young, it was like, that's not the same person. You know,
that person looks the most different than I've ever seen anyone in my life.
It was
from
crazy.
Young to old.
Yeah.
It made no sense. I didn't believe him even after I had looked at him. Yeah. I was like, they're wrong. Emmett Walsh is also in Blood Simple, Blade Runner, The Jerk, Critters. He is in everything. The man's in everything.
He's an all-timer actor. We love him. Yeah. And that reminds me, if you haven't seen Blood Simple, watch Blood Simple. That is the Coen brothers' first movie. And man, it cooks. It cooks, it cooks, it cooks.
Leslie Nielsen.
That's what I wanted to say, but I was scared because it sounded like the Nielsen ratings and I didn't want to sound stupid. Yeah. Is that everybody?
Yep.
I just thought this movie kind of had almost like a hopeful view of the president. Not hopeful, that's the wrong word. I feel like if this movie was made today, the president would not act so conscientious of decisions and emotions.
But everything was motivated by getting his vote.
It was, but it felt like he was actually, I don't know.
No, I mean, well, not to be annoying about it. But.
No. Well, okay, just I felt like it was like a little bit more sympathetic of a view of a president than would be made today.
But I think he was motivated by, his sympathy was motivated by, if any harm comes to these apes, like they have given him such high approval ratings because the American public likes him. So if anything bad happens to them, he will not get reelected.
Right.
And I know it does come across as like he wants things to be done good and by the number, but it wasn't all for good intentions, especially like that second time they had like the chairman review board thing. Mm-hmm. No, it was private. When the first time it was public, and even the camera made a point to pan back to the audience in the second part of the movie. And the only person sitting in the audience is Dr. Lewis. And that's when like they're reading, like they need to get killed.
Yeah.
That's the verdict.
Yeah. I suppose maybe it's just a difference of like the modern lens of we've become so desensitized to look at any president as anything less than someone who's out to get us in a way. At least that's how I view every president.
Oh,
it's like,
yeah,
this guy's going to screw us over. That, to me, it felt like sympathetic compared to how it would be portrayed today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably, at the time, people were probably like, this guy's a bad dude. But to me, I'm like, wow, he seems pretty level. And
I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
But it was funny because I thought maybe the president at the time would be like a really good, beloved guy. But it was Richard Nixon when this movie came out. So I'm like, okay, it's a crook that's in the office.
Pre-scandal, though.
Yeah, pre-scandal, I think. I don't know exactly when the Watergate scandal happened.
He was divisive anyway, though, wasn't he?
I think so.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, here's a little side tangent, people. Watergate, yes, it is the name of the scandal, and it's the hotel where it went down, right? So we call it the Watergate scandal. I don't think it makes sense to call everything else that happens in life blank gate.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're saying.
We got to
letting you have your Larry David moment.
I want to be done with it because you're referencing a hotel.
Yeah,
I think you should.
I think the name it goes beyond the hotel at
no,
this
it,
point.
No, it does, but it's kind of it's annoying to me. I'm done. I'm done with blank gate.
Okay,
where it needs to be over. Okay, and I said
what
it
if
here
it's
first.
Water related.
Oh, honey, if we're talking about like you know finding out Arrowhead, you know, is putting chemicals in their water, then that's Watergate for sure.
Thank you.
But no, it's time to be done with like Fashiongate happened on the red carpet or this happened. No.
Inflategate, the football thing.
Yeah. No. Call it something else. Think of something. It's like when you read like box office headlines and they always try to do a pun out of the movie that came out that weekend. And it's like, no, stop. Okay. So the movie begins.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to dive in?
Yeah.
Do you want to knock out a portion before she wakes up?
Yep.
So the movie starts and we're on the beach again. And I thought, oh, okay, we're going to start like flashing back to the original again or something like mm-hmm. that. But the camera's panning and we see, we're hearing a helicopter. And I'm kind of like, okay, that's interesting. Did it take
you, I feel like I was a little delayed. Like the scene's going on a little bit and then you see these guys in a helicopter. And it was kind of delayed for me where I was like, wait a second. What are these humans doing?
Yeah, well, because if you recall, dear listener, Beneath the Planet of the Apes ended with the entire world exploding. And not just that, not like, oh, maybe America did. The narrator saying this blue planet exploded. A narrator that has not been in the series before. And then it goes to credits.
I mean, I think it's God, but yeah.
Yeah. So we're...
That
we're,
just happened. So yeah. You see these helicopters over the ocean, and there is a spacecraft that probably looks familiar.
Yeah.
It's the same spacecraft from the first two movies. And you think, yeah, it's so many questions immediately. Love how all of this is shot. Yeah. You got helicopters, you got the army showing up on the beach, you got them pulling, you got divers going in.
A crane is on the, see, to me, I was like, what is the budget of this movie? Because they're like whipping out all the stops at this opening scene.
Oh, I loved it. I loved how this whole movie was shot. You get all the guys out on the beach, they wheel in, they bring in the spacecraft onto the beach, and then they help three figures out of the spacecraft
in astronaut suits. And then Jordan says, are they the apes? And I hadn't even gotten there yet. It was obvious, but I hadn't gotten there yet because I was like, what is happening in
and
this
then
movie?
Our general or whatever, you know, is there, and he's like, gives them a salute, like, welcome back to Earth. Oh, and then they take their helmets off
and it's Zira, Cornelius, and Milo. Dr. Milo.
Did we ever know Milo?
No, he's a new character.
Okay. I guess I should talk about who that is, but we can keep talking.
Sure. So all of a sudden we have like a complete inversion of the first movie with this, and they're getting rushed.
Sal Mineo. Sal Manila.
What?
Sal Mineo.
Oh, okay.
He's in Rebel Without a Cause, Exodus.
Oh, okay.
He looks so familiar. He's in Columbo. He's not Columbo.
No, he's
Hawaii 5-0.
Come on.
I'm just like, look at his picture. Doesn't he? I think he just looks like the Karate Kid.
I don't know. He doesn't look familiar to me. Okay. But I have seen Rebel Without a Cause.
You've seen Karate Kid.
I have not seen Karate Kid. We've talked about that.
Why are we talking about it?
I don't know. So they take the apes and they take them to a government facility. And we have an inversion of the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they're put in a zoo. And as they're talking, Dr. Milo.
Well, they're first brought just onto the base, I think, and a guy comes with a bag of oranges.
Yeah.
I think it's just interesting to note because when our general gets in and looks at him, they're all like jaw dropped because they're all dressing themselves.
Yeah.
The chimps.
And they're thinking it must be learned behavior somehow.
Yeah. And they give him oranges and they start eating the oranges with a fork and knife.
Yeah.
Like civilized.
Okay.
Yeah. Then they're taken to a zoo.
They're taken to a zoo.
LA Zoo.
Yeah, and this speaks to, like, the shocking quality of the series. It is kind of shocking, and I know I'm kind of bouncing ahead in this, but, like, there's a gorilla, like, our time gorilla, in the other thing, and it just kills Dr. Milo.
Yeah.
And you're just kind of like, nobody's off limits in this series.
No. Especially when you get to the end of this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the gorilla suit looks pretty bad, but it's kind of cool, and I wish I owned it. That would be cool.
That's so scary. Gorilla suits are so scary.
Yeah.
But before that happens, they're taken to the zoo where they're keeping
zoo infirmary.
Yeah, they're kept in an area with all these other sick animals in their own cage. And then the doctors show up, Dr. Lewis and Dr. something else. I thought, let's see. That's interesting that she was in the other movie.
Right.
I thought she was pretty bad in this movie.
Yeah. Just
Dr. Bart Branton.
Dr. Brent, not really much going on.
Well, I think more than anything, she had nothing to do. But Dr. Lewis gets there, and he gives them a series of tests. None of the apes have spoken to the humans yet, but they've spoken amongst each other, and they've all kind of decided, like, don't give away too much.
Right.
And they also, is this before that, they kind of discuss, like, where are we, when are we?
Yeah.
They notice that.
The question isn't, where are we? It's when are we?
But they did notice the ticker went back 2,000 years as they were traveling away from the planet. Yeah,
I do kind of love just right off the bat, right? Because it's like, okay, cool. Clear the deck a little bit. Like, Dr. Milo, they're like, what are we doing? When are we? What's going on? And Dr. Milo's like, well, it looks like we hit a time warp when we were leaving Earth, and now we're back 2,000 or 3,000 years. And you're like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Way to just get that out of the way.
Love that.
But yeah, we are now in time travel element. Well, I guess we started the whole series with time travel, but now we're traveling back
more
in time.
More time dilation
in the first one, yeah. So you're like, okay, they reset, kind of.
The way he explains time travel later in the movie was confusing.
It was confusing, but it was so nice to watch a movie.
It was so different.
It was nice to watch a movie where someone didn't take a piece of paper, draw two lines, fold the piece of paper, and stick a pencil through it and say, that's how a wormhole works. It was just nice to see something else.
But before that, Dr. Lewis shows up and gives them a series of tests. Zira volunteers, and it's like a memory test. She aces it.
Yeah.
And then they're like, okay, give her the banana. They lower a banana from the ceiling, and she figures out a way to make stairs to go up and get it. And they're like, well, how come she's not getting the banana, though? And that's when she speaks and says she hates bananas. And they're like, oh my gosh, they're going to talk.
Right.
What is this happening?
So now, and then we see that there's like, because there's this cool element, like a social commentary on like celebrity in this movie. Because the next portion of this movie, bouncing around a little bit, is we're gonna see how like the audience, being America and the world, are like champions of these apes, and they think they're so cool, and they're putting them up in hotels, and they're giving them stuff, and they're like getting pictures with them. Oh my gosh, we love the apes. And then how quickly, like, being a celebrity, being a person of note, you can get turned on.
Yeah.
So that's like one of the social themes in this movie.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So yeah, they, Dr. Milo dies, gets killed by the gorilla.
Yeah.
I think it's significant and interesting, you know, when Dr. Lewis comes back and is like, so sorry for them. And he's like, but don't worry, the gorilla's chained up. And they cut to the gorilla, and the way he's chained is like so like horrific looking.
Yeah.
And he's like, and he's sedated.
Yeah.
And kind of like, do you guys know what that means? And they're like, of course we've done that to humans, but they always kind of stop themselves.
You're right.
But it is interesting that they did chain the gorilla that way in front of the apes, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But then the president decides, after he's briefed on all this, that there's going to be like a chairman board that's going to discuss what to do with them.
A presidential inquiry.
Presidential inquiry.
Yeah.
It's going to ask them more questions, figure out what to do with them. They're going to invite the press to observe.
Yeah.
That's when, so Zira.
So this is the first, and hopefully not the last, courtroom Planet of the Apes movie.
Oh, yeah. I would love an Anatomy of a Fall style courtroom scene with a Planet of the Apes movie.
How amazing would it be? Justine Trier, you know, she won an Oscar for original.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
She's on the stage, and she goes, I just want to shout out my number one influence for this movie, which of course was Escape from the Planet of the Apes. Thank you, Don Taylor, for giving me the inspiration to write about this woman accused of murdering her husband.
Bananas.
Oranges.
Bananas. Oh, oranges. So yeah, they are asked, you know, like, can they really talk? And I just love the back and forth with the chair people and Dr. Lewis. And Dr. Lewis is like, you have to ask them.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, they're like, well, which one's the female? Zira stands up. Everyone's like, and then they're like, well, what's her name? She says Zira. And they're like, well, how do we know? Is that a name, or is that a weird thing that she just made with her throat? Yeah. And then they start like talking. They're like, no, this is impossible. I liked all this stuff.
I love all this. And I think if you're being really zooming in, you can kind of see that once again, at the core of Planet of the Apes so far, it seems like the series is about belief versus proof.
Yeah.
Because we get to this point, and you can see that these men are being presented with proof and evidence, just as in the first movie, they're presented with proof and evidence, and their initial reaction is just to disprove. It's never to believe in the proof or the evidence.
Yeah.
And so once again, we're like revisiting those themes that keep coming back, and it's like, how much evidence is enough evidence? Should faith be involved with anything,
and
et cetera,
kind of looking for any reason to eliminate them, because especially our main scientist, Dr. Hasslein is like, understands the implications of all of this.
This is the presidential guy.
Yeah, like the president's top scientist guy. Yeah. He understands the implications of like their existence,
yeah,
potentially, and how that can threaten the human race.
Right.
And in this scene, Zira almost slips up and says that they dissected humans.
Yeah.
But instead switches to they studied humans.
Right.
Different time.
I do love too when they're like, "Do you speak English?" And they say, "What's English?" This was just a language that was passed down from
our fathers. When Cornelius explains like how apes rose to prominence, I was like, "You're giving us to us just like on a silver platter."
And so do you, because you've seen Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Is that
so long ago? I hardly remember.
Because we have to like keep a pin in our head. I want to know if they continue that, like if they follow what it said, or if
although it doesn't sound that way, because doesn't James Franco just like genetically modify a monkey to be smart?
Well, they mention a specific monkey that says the first word, and I'm wondering
Caesar?
It's monkey Aldo.
Okay,
so I'm wondering if in that movie the monkey is Aldo.
And then the movie ends with him saying
something like that would be pretty cool.
Yeah,
but I could also see that they could very easily say that this event of these monkeys going back in time causes a branch in timeline.
Uh-huh.
So now we're headed to like a different future, which would also free up all of those sequels to not have to set them up for Planet of the Apes 1. But I don't know if they're going to go that direction. I mean, I can't wait, though. I just can't wait. I got to get me in the theaters and see that one ape go, "Are you ready for a wonderful day?" And also in this movie, they said orangutans. Because I've been saying, all my life I've said orangutan. And then it's spelled orangutan. So I started saying that because I thought maybe it would make me sound smarter. But they're saying orangutans in this. So I'm going back to orangutans. It feels much better. And it reminds me of that sweet orange juice we had as kids where the mascot was an orangutan. Tang was the... That's why I always thought it was orangutan, because of Tang. Mm. And he is the orangutan.
Mm.
Oh my gosh, I love Tangs and I love Gibbons. They are so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And also in Kingdom of the Planet of
the Apes. So am I allowed to say orangutans because you've made me feel stupid about it before?
Have I really?
Well, it's like you and Sherbet. Just let me say Sherbert.
Yeah. But I'm not trying to force you to say these things. I never tried to do that.
I just want
to
please you.
Weird.
I just am always seeking your approval.
Orangutans, but it feels so much better. We'll have to look up that weird YouTube channel that's like, "How do you say orangutan?"
Yeah,
I'll look it up while you talk about the next part of this.
It's determined that they're okay for now, and they're going to be taken to a hotel where they're going to be treated more like humans. They are treated like celebrities.
Yep.
This is when we get just the wildest and most... I had no idea where this movie was going. The music was so upbeat and light, and it's like a montage of Zira and Cornelius being like assimilated.
It's a DQ commercial.
The 1970s as a human. So they're taken to... I can't talk.
I know. I'm so sorry. This ad is too long. All right, here we go. All right, I'm going to pause it, though, so keep talking. I'm not starting this video yet.
Oh, okay. So they both go on a shopping spree. There's a lot of comedy in this
kind of
sequence.
Funny.
There's parties going on in their hotel.
Well, and then there's that one sequence where they walk into that one shop and she says "big mistake" and then she walks out.
Mm-hmm. Zira drinks wine and is told it's grape juice plus,
and later we'll be told it's good when you're pregnant to drink wine.
Yep.
Which is, just for the record, folks, not good. Don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can have a little bit, can't you?
Just don't do it, though.
I would say don't do it. Don't risk it. Now, do we want to hear the pronunciation of orangutan?
Sure.
All right, let's see what happens here.
You're looking at how to pronounce the name of this great ape, native to Indonesia and Malaysia. They are found in the rainforests of Borneo and Sumatra in particular. How do you go about pronouncing their name? Orangutan. You do want to stress on the second syllable, the ran syllable. Orangutan. Orangutan.
I don't I've never heard that at all. Let's see. Let's try one more.
Orangutan.
American pronunciation, orangutan. There you go. Okay. We're going to go by how to pronounce 30, which has 840 subscribers. So you know it's good. All right. So then I thought this scene was nice, too, because you have, like I said, you have the courtroom guys who are saying, like, this isn't possible, whatever. But then you have Dr. Hunsler.
Hosslein.
And he goes on TV, and he's like, I absolutely believe their story. And they said that they're from the future, and I think we should explore this further. And I thought, oh, this is kind of refreshing. There's just a guy who's on board, and he's public about it.
Mm-hmm.
He's not, like, secretly conniving. I mean, he is, actually, but he's not secretly conniving to believe them.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't do that thing, which they'll do a lot in movies in the future, where they'll be like, hey, I'm on your team, apes. Like, I can't wait. He's, like, immediately like, okay, I'm interrogating you guys, and we're going to figure this out. So I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
But he goes on TV.
Which I do. So he is, you know, the bad guy of this movie,
yeah,
basically. But you do have to understand why he is.
Uh-huh.
Because if he believes that they're from the future, he has to know why apes have taken over.
Right.
And he has to know, what does that mean for humans? And when did humans lose favor with the world?
And he says, which again, it's like this, we're exploring some deep, deep moral questions in this.
Yeah.
Because then he says, which we'll get into this whole scene a little later, but there's that scene where he says to the president, he goes, everyone says we'll deal with climate change later. We'll deal with nuclear warfare later. But everyone thinks we have unlimited time, but we do not. Uh-huh. So let's deal with this now.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting.
So, okay. So then this guy, he goes on television, and he's explaining the time travel, which I never heard it explained like this before. And he explained it in something called infinite regression. So an artist is painting like a mountain, and the mountain holds, like, he just shows that, but if he wanted to do a complete painting, he needs to show himself doing the painting. And then if he really wants to be complete, he now has to show himself painting that painting backwards.
So on and so forth.
So I don't know what that means in terms of time travel. I think it either means...
Well, is he trying to explain how they time traveled back in time? How they regressed through time? They didn't just time travel, they regressed through it.
Maybe.
I still don't get it.
My thought was like, it's like when you're trying to capture a moment, like, it's impossible. Like you have to be outside of the dimension of time. So it's like the painting is outside of the dimension of time, and therefore you can go in and out of it freely. I don't know. I didn't quite
understand.
Or to see
all of time means to travel through it.
Maybe. Let's see what happens when I Google infinite regression. A sequence of reasoning or justification which can never come to an end.
I think maybe it was important for us to remember what the question the guy asked, the reporter.
Time travel, maybe, Ad? Right, and I don't remember what he asked him.
I think he might have only asked him, like, do you really believe?
Okay, here's a Reddit post, you know, so we're good to go. Infinite, and this is on Debate Religion Reddit thread.
Oh,
so
my
let's
gosh,
see.
Perfect.
Infinite regress only exists when talking about things bound by time. Therefore, time itself / time's creator is not bound by infinite regress.
Let's just move on. We don't get it.
Infinite regress exists because us humans experience time in a linear fashion. To us, things come in a chronological order. The past needs to exist to create a present. The present needs to exist to create a future. And therefore, a past cannot rely on a future. This argument is true in everyday life until time travel is invented, but when discussing the creation of time itself, this argument is invalid. Something capable of creating time would not follow its laws, therefore would not follow the law of cause and effect.
So is he explaining that that's how we understand time?
Yes, and this is from dabbing_is_lit. So
you can't, I mean, yeah, that's the source you want.
Yeah, so yeah, if you're, I guess that's about it. I still don't quite know how that applies to this movie, but
it was interesting.
I'm probably going to get a big long text from Mike Combs. He'll
just
be like,
text Micah, don't
he'll be
text
like,
me.
I know exactly what this means. So then we have the hotel, we have the shopping spree, and then we have them like, which again is maybe another comment on like celebrity culture, having these people be put in positions of like, oh, you've now fit in this box and we need you to lead this group of people. Cause like Zira is now at like the women's club.
Yeah.
And she's like talking to them about how women need more rights. And then like Cornelius is at a boxing match, which he finds to be barbaric.
It's interesting. I think that another way you could do this movie, and I like this movie, so I'm not saying this needs to be changed, but I think if you continued on that path that they were on, I could see a version of this movie where they become like pets to America.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's
yeah.
like that cycle is started again on kind of what he's saying. And how, in a way, that's how 2,000 years later, apes became on top again.
Yeah, that would be interesting too.
But that's not this movie.
And I do kind of like that this movie doesn't do a story we've seen a billion times, which is like they're going to like be high on all of this excess and then burn out.
Oh, yeah. No, we don't need that. We don't have enough time for that. But Zira
regress means that we actually
she's in the Natural History Museum where she passes out after seeing a gorilla, and then she reveals that she is pregnant.
Yeah, which I was like, oh, okay, okay.
And then Dr. Hosslein takes her back home and waits with her for Cornelius to get back. He secretly records her and gets her drunk.
Yeah,
and asks her more questions about where they're from.
Yeah,
and that's when she reveals drunkenly that the Earth exploded when they left.
Right, and this is when we're starting to figure out that, because I was like, when did they leave Earth? You know what I mean? Because like it was pretty much the gorillas left.
They
and then
say
they left.
I don't know if it's in this scene or later, but she said Dr. Milo studied the spacecraft that Taylor came on, and he fixed it, got it working, and they three left when the war broke out.
Yeah,
and that's how they got away. I'm fine with that.
No. I am too. I was just stuff. When the movie started, I was kind of like, huh. I hope that they explain that, and they do later.
Yeah. So what he learns is enough for him to go back to the president and be like, "This is they're a major threat. We have to do something about this."
Yeah.
The best when the president is more like, "We can't do anything to them though because they haven't done anything to us."
Right, and then this is when the president brings up he brings up the Hitler argument, which is like,
oh my goodness,
I know we're going
that.
There. It's like, would we kill Hitler before he had committed any crimes?
Yeah.
And then he's like, if we start killing them and they have a baby and killing the baby, are we no better than Herod?
Yes.
Who killed, and look what happened with Jesus, even though he tried to kill them.
Yeah.
So then you have this other question of like,
okay,
if he tries to kill the apes, would it then cause the apes to rule? Is like his decision in this moment, is it going to be what actually is the downfall of humanity, which would be the downfall of Herod?
And Mike and I are foaming at the mouth.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, this is cool.
He does grant them though another inquiry. This one is now private.
So we're done with that cool conversation. We got nothing else. I thought you would say a little more.
I thought we've talked about it throughout,
basically. All right, fine.
The apes aren't even there at this inquiry.
No, this is like the reading of the,
but they determine that they need to interrogate them.
Yeah.
So they're taken to like a secret base, basically, where they are interrogated further. This is when we get the big, like, where did you guys come? How did apes rise to prominence? And Cornelius is like, well, let me tell you.
And this is pretty fascinating.
So he said there was like a plague that wiped out
dogs and cats.
Dogs and cats.
Yeah.
There were like bonfires of dogs. Like it was so bad.
Yeah. An aisle, perhaps, of dogs.
Oh. Yeah. And he said that basically dogs were extinct in a way.
Yeah.
There were so few.
I think he said there were.
Okay.
Cats and dogs are like not around anymore.
Or there were so few that humans turned to another pet that they could have.
Yeah, they needed a
pet. Which were chimps, which is a terrifying thing to even think about.
Yeah, we've all seen Nope, so it's scary.
Yeah. Well, not just seeing that movie, just real life situations that have happened with chimps.
Oh, no, I only know about movies.
But humans made apes pets, chimps pets, and throughout time, chimps learned from humans, gained more and more intelligence.
So they're like evolving throughout time.
They're evolving, and the humans start giving them jobs to do, and they're evolving more.
And I think one of them interrupts and is kind of like, Yeah, but how do you go from like sit and stay to, and then Cornelius cuts him off and he's like, no, can your dogs and cats cook meals for you and like schedule appointments for you and yada yada. So they're getting very, very smart.
And then he says that they get smart enough to understand that they're slaves at this point. And then that's when.
And then he says, and the only way to beat slavery is unity.
Yeah.
And then there was
Mike and I are foaming at the mouth.
Yeah, there's an ape named Aldo.
Okay.
And he was the first ape to speak, and he said no.
Dude.
Yeah.
Is this the coolest series ever?
It's getting up there.
Yeah.
Certainly ideas wise, this might be some of the richest that we've had.
I love it so much.
It's so freaking interesting.
So he gives him that whole backstory.
Yeah.
And
what a great decision we made this year.
No, seriously. I hope this new movie is really good. It will be. It's getting to a point where it will be. You know,
yeah,
no
we're starting to get in like Guardians of the Galaxy territory so where cool. It's like, sweet, another ape movie.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I'm going to like the Tim Burton movie at this point.
I know, which we won't, but we probably will. And then they...
Oh, and I got to cut you off.
Okay.
Because when we watch the Oscars, which this is the first episode we recorded after them, I know it's like a month later, but when... Catherine O'Hara and Michael Keaton walked out and presented an award. I just flipped. I'm ready for Beetlejuice, and I'm excited about it. I'm ready to go in fresh, and I think it'll be good. I think it's gonna be good. I'm excited about it.
Okay.
And
you said your piece.
I've said my piece, but I know we've been very anti that movie. We started a whole legacy sequel podcast on Patreon that will lead up to doing that movie. But you know what? I think it's going to be good. I just got like kind of the like seeing them together. I was like, yeah, this is going to work. So.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure about
which
it.
Is a great thing to say. Go to patreon.com/MicahMcCaw. Link in the notes. This month we did Trainspotting with Case Aiken. And then next month we're doing Trainspotting or T2 Trainspotting. And we're doing legacy sequels. Sign up. Do a free trial. $3 a month.
T2, but we also have another T2.
It's like an in-joke.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, anyway, Aldo the Ape and all the history. Yes, that's what we've got.
Okay. And then I think they determined that, you know, they still think that they're not being very truthful with them. They're hiding something.
Yeah.
So they are going to give Zira a truth serum.
Yeah.
They separate the apes. Dr. Lewis gives her the truth serum. And then that's when she says, she does talk about Taylor. So she admits to they did know Taylor.
Yeah. But she had been asked and she denied.
Yeah. Because they didn't want them to know that Taylor died.
Yeah.
And then she divulges more information to them about that they did study humans. They dissected them. They tested them. They hunted them for sport.
Yeah.
Humans and apes flipped roles.
Yeah.
They even did lobotomies on humans to study the area of the human brain.
Yeah.
Pretty horrific stuff.
Uh-huh.
But of course, how is it so different from what humans are doing now?
Yeah.
But as humans, like, how do we prevent this from happening?
Right. So the motivation is clear, and I get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And I get it. And I get it.
And you can do it.
Yeah. So they're like, okay, we have to kill their baby and them. It's quite simple to them.
And that's what they... I think the... Doesn't the inquiry, though, say they just need to kill the baby? Or do they say they need to kill all three?
No, I think they said to kill the baby and to make it so that they can't have any other children.
That's what they said.
And at this time, you know, they're like, kill the unborn baby.
Yeah.
And then we find out pretty soon after that the baby's going to be due any day. Wowza.
Yeah. And now it's time for ape escape.
Yep. We're going to escape from this planet of the apes. So they're confined on this base. The orderly comes in to give them their oranges. They subdue the orderly, accidentally kill him. I think that is a very interesting and important thing.
Yeah.
That they've now killed somebody.
Yeah. So now they have like probable cause to.
To kill them.
Yeah.
They're dangerous.
Yeah.
What they've feared.
Yeah.
But they escape. And.
They track down.
Dr. Lewis helps them.
Yeah.
Brings them to a circus. Where there are, you know, all these other animals there. They're gonna. Zira has her baby.
Yeah. And there's another
Milo.
Baby there.
The circus, the ringmaster gives them Armando.
Armando, the ringmaster.
Gives him an emblem of Saint Francis Assisi, who helped animals.
Yep.
I loved that.
Yeah.
Gave it to the baby.
I believe that's a real saint, too.
Yeah, it is. And he's going to protect them. But then soon after, we find out that the government's searching high and low for them everywhere, including any nearby circuses.
Yeah.
So they have to escape. And
when I saw, I'm telling you, when I saw baby Milo, because it is a real baby chimp, I looked at those eyes and I thought, personally, outside of this movie, I thought, yeah, those things could rule the earth.
Uh-huh.
Because look at the eyes on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's crazy. Monkeys are so cute when they're awesome. Babies and
they're
look so human-like.
So scary.
They are, yeah.
That chimp outfit of the person in the cage looked pretty good. Isn't it interesting? It's not perfect, but isn't it interesting that in this movie, like, we had a gorilla and an ape, but they couldn't put them in the same outfit from the other two movies because those are evolved versions of them?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Cool. Just love stuff like that.
Yeah.
So they escape. Dr. Lewis tells them to go to an abandoned area of ships to lay low for about a week. We'll look at them back.
And I think you got to stop calling stuff because I think I would have been fun surprised because I didn't pick up on it.
Sorry.
But
I called the end of this movie. Whatever. We don't need to get into that. I don't always look at movies trying to figure them out.
No. You were excited.
Yeah.
And then you were speaking it out. But I was kind of like, oh, dang it. You're right. That is going to happen.
Sorry. I'll try to bite my lip. So bite my tongue.
Bite your tongue while you're at it.
They're going to lay low for a week. Dr. Lewis is going to get them back, send them down to Florida where Armando and his circus will be, and they will be safe.
Yeah.
The government's looking for them. Dr. Hosling finds them.
Yes.
Before they're sent away.
Cool set.
Cornelius,
I mean, it must be just like a real abandoned boat and stuff.
Cornelius does ask for a gun to give them the chance
to kill themselves if they need to.
So that they're not killed by humans.
This is a G-rated movie.
Wild. Dr. Hosling.
All these movies have like the most depressing endings.
Very sad. So they're
for like
he's
blockbuster
chasing
movies.
Them. Government shows up. Dr. Lewis is on his way. Doesn't get there in time. Zira is running away with the baby, gets shot, drops the baby, and then we see Dr. Hosling shoot the baby.
Shoot the baby.
A few times.
And we see it floating, so we know it's not like, oh, she hit it somewhere else or something. Kills the chimp.
He kills it.
Yeah.
And Cornelius, with his gun, kills Dr. Hosling.
Yeah.
And then Cornelius is shot by the police or the government or whatever.
Yeah.
So he dies. Everyone dies. Our main characters.
Yeah. And then how does Zira die?
She gets shot by the doctor.
Okay, yeah. So you're like, holy cow. Like, everyone died. And again, it's like, we've had the revelation that Earth was taken over by monkeys. That's volume one. Volume two, we have the entire Earth exploding. Volume three, all of our main characters die, including a baby.
Mm-hmm.
This is very sad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But perhaps mankind has prevented the apes from rising.
Or they've started it. This is a
And
seed.
I believe... This goes in with the Herod thing, right?
Like,
he goes and he kills all these babies, but he doesn't get Jesus.
Yeah.
And
I hope the American public and the world, not just the American public, because during the movie they showed throughout the world, news broadcasters were talking about the story. And I hope none of them found out that there was a baby involved and that she was pregnant. Otherwise, they'd really have a problem on their hands.
Well, and who knows what Conquest is going to be about?
I don't.
But like, then
I can't even fathom at this point.
So then you cut to the circus after all that, and Armando's there, and he looks at the little baby chimp that was born that was just a baby chimp.
He knows, though.
And it's been a switcheroo.
He calls it Milo. And then the baby says, Mama.
And it says it over and over and over, and we see the necklace on
and
it.
And the screen cuts to black.
And then
Mama.
It cuts to black. So it's like, mankind, you're doomed.
Oh my gosh, this is crazy.
I mean, this series
this is a movie.
Rocks and rolls.
Yeah.
I just
bummed that Zira, especially Kim Hunter, I think she is so incredible.
Yeah.
That she won't be in anymore. I love that character.
Well, and
conceivably, I guess.
What's nutso butso is I know in the next movie, because I kept looking ahead, I don't know the plots, but the next movie, the main character is a little guy named Caesar, who I know from the prequel series is played by a little guy named Andy Serkis. Maybe that's like Caesar 1 and this is Caesar 2. I don't know. But this is such a fascinating series. And I got to say, ooh, beat my chest. I love it. Yeah. I am so intrigued by this. And this is like some damn fine science fiction.
Yes.
I mean, this is, we're sipping some good wine, baby.
Mm-hmm.
A grape juice plus.
Yeah.
I'm loving it. Every week that we get to do this, I'm like, ooh, we're watching Planet of the Apes mm-hmm. tonight. It's not like, all right, we got to get through this movie so that we can watch whatever we want to watch this week. It's like, ooh, it's ape time, baby. Mm-hmm. Ooh, you ready? Hey, let's
give me
go.
A banana.
Get an orange, Jordan.
Sorry.
Come on.
Sorry.
Yeah, love it. Can't wait to watch more.
Watch this series.
Yeah, if we haven't convinced you yet, I don't know.
Worth it.
This is cool.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening.
Thank you.
There's cool stuff coming for both of us. A lot of art stuff coming up for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you want to plug anything.
Where are we?
I don't know. I think we're late April at this point.
May 4th, Rogue Comic Con.
Yep.
May 11th, Made in Southern Oregon. May 24th, gallery opening.
Okay. Oh, wait. What was the first one you said?
May 4th.
Okay, that was yesterday.
Oh, I hope you had fun. I hope I did too.
I'm sure you did. All right, we'll see you next week when we cover. Let me look at it again because I
Conquest
can't,
of the Planet of the Apes.
I'm pretty sure it's Conquest. Oh man, we only have
you
two.
You should play out with the White Stripes song, Conquest.
I will not do that because I don't want to get in trouble. Bye.
Bye.